From the KCPW Danker Studios at Library Square, this is Downtown SLC, a show that explores the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center. I'm your host, Jason Mathis. Independent film is an important component of any urban center, and particularly so in Salt Lake City. Today, we'll be joined by Tori Baker, Executive Director of the Salt Lake Film Society, to talk about the Broadway and Tower Art Houses. These are movie theaters that have curated films focused on local concerns and national interests, dedicated to promoting the art form that is independent cinema.
We're defining right now, in these next few years, what the bricks and mortar institution for cinema means to a community.
All of that after this news from the BBC. We are back. You are listening to KCPW's Downtown SLC. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, with the Downtown Alliance. Joining me today, my very good friend, Tori Baker. Tori is the Executive Director of the Salt Lake Film Society. Tori, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure to see you. Lots of exciting changes going on with the Salt Lake Film Society. And maybe for any listeners who don't know what the Film Society is, if you could give a brief description, just so people understand what your mission is and what you do.
Sure. So the Salt Lake Film Society is the resident art house. So we run the Broadway and the Tower. We are your bricks and mortar home for cinema.
An independent cinema, right?
Yes. We exhibit really what's kind of from contemporary artists in independent American cinema, international cinema, documentary, and also cult and historic. So we'll be plucking from archives and things like that to exhibit as well, and curating projects and programs that are really important to the zeitgeist of our community. So if our community is really focused on politics right now or the war or anything like that, then we kind of curate around that as well.
So how would you say that you are different than a megaplex or a typical movie theater?
So an art house really is more akin to a museum than they are a movie theater, because they're actively curating. So we're not allowing an industry, which is really a $10.5 billion industry,
and
in
focus purely on profit. Like, that's the
reason
commercial movies are made, which is great.
Exactly. And there's sort of a line between, you know, and a nice dialogue to say, well, what's artistic and what's commercial? Because they can blur. Something that is very popular can be very artistic.
Sure.
And so those lines are not as easily, you know, defined. But certainly Hollywood and the purveyors in Hollywood are people who are wanting to make money.
Right.
So are independent filmmakers, quite honestly. But as an art house, our interest is community-based. We are community-based, mission-driven. So we want to reach deep into the pockets of our communities, particularly ethnic demographics and into cultural demographics, to say every life that lives in our community deserves to see their cultures represented through the art of cinema. We also want to use cinema as a force for dialogue and be the town hall. So cinema is one of the most modern art forms. So if you come to the Broadway and you see a film about what's going on in the Middle East or something, then you can have that dialogue with your neighbors and with your friends and with the people at our cinemas after that film as well. So it's reaching into a different exhibition level of the art of cinema than it is just to say, you know, we're here to push the current content.
It's an interesting concept, that idea of cinema as art. And if you think about it, there are so many different artists who all conspire, whether it's the cinematographer, the director, the writer, the stories, the actors. It's really a community-based art form in terms of who's putting it together. And I think, as you say, something that really speaks to the larger community in terms of telling a narrative visually, with sound, with emotion. It really combines almost every other element of art into this expression of whatever's going on in that art form of cinema.
Yeah, I mean, it's the modern art form. Its ability to not just highlight another art form is very fascinating.
Yeah.
A sculpture can certainly highlight another art form if the sculpture is of a ballerina, say. But cinema does it through storytelling and through visual aspects and most of the time sound. It's different for independent filmmakers, because independent filmmakers in the industry in America are the storytellers today. And they're working also in different mediums. They're also working in television sometimes and in different other mediums that are visual. Being able to exhibit those works in an artistic and curated format has intent behind it. And our intent is that we're growing audiences and appreciation for the art form of cinema, as opposed to just ensuring that we sell enough popcorn to make a business model continue to forward.
Right. Well, you kind of have to have a foot in both camps, because you have to, you're an independent nonprofit, so you receive some funding from the government, and you guys are Zap recipients, and we love Zap. Let's have a plug for Zap right now.
And everybody go to the polls in November.
Yeah, Zap is up for a renewal. And but really, you have to run a business model as well, a nonprofit, but a business model while you're pursuing this artistic mission.
Yeah, and I think any good nonprofit probably does or should be focused on their business model, because if you don't have that those margins, then your mission may not have the oomph that it needs to have impact.
Right.
But in our case, what's really unique, unlike sort of maybe your symphony opera ballet dynamic, is that there's a $10.5 billion marketing-based industry who is framing and shaping the cultural expectations for film. So just because I'm curating an Iraq documentary doesn't mean that I shouldn't have a 7 p.m. show, in other words, because the American mindset in terms of film and movie consumption is still going to be, well, I can go to dinner and a movie, or I can go to a 7 p.m. show. So we're constantly bridging that gap between sort of thinking about those cultural norms and how we can have mission impact. So it is a unique place to be in, I think, for one of the arts organizations.
Okay, and you mentioned this earlier, but I think it's worth exploring a little bit more. Really, there are you have two brick and mortar facilities where you showcase independent film. So the Tower, I remember in high school seeing the Rocky Horror Picture Show there, being pelted with rice and water. Yeah,
every October.
So that's great neighborhood facility. How many seats are at the Tower?
340. It's actually quite a large facility.
Yeah,
but it's a very old facility. It was from 1928, and has gone through a renovation in the 70s, which is the facade and the look of the theater at this time. So there's a lot of potential for that neighborhood theater, but it is a slightly different demographic and serves a different purpose than the Broadway does, which is a larger converted Lowe's Cineplex. And those two facilities really allow our mission to have a great expanse. One of our largest initiatives is film access. And so we're trying to give access at the Tower to films that are genre cult, like Rocky Horror Picture Show, that are maybe performance-based and sort of pushing the new norms of what cinema is. I mean, cinema may not always just be the thing that you look at on the screen. We don't know. But Rocky Horror Picture Show has a live accompanying shadow cast, for instance.
Right.
And so that experience is very different. So the Tower facilitates some great programs that way. And then we have an archive at the Tower of more than 11,000 titles. So that archive is accessible to all our members for free, and is accessible to the public as well for a marginal cost.
So DVDs or VHS or a combination?
Both, actually, because there are some things that have not been converted. I have a dream that I want to turn the back room, or the side room. If you've been in the Tower, there's a large side room that we load the DVDs and videos from the archive, and I'd love to just turn that into a home theater, basically a 4 or 8 seat home theater environment that we can show really rare archives that we can't let out of our collection right now, because somebody's old dusty VHS player might eat it up and it's never been released on DVD, or it's inaccessible, period, and you just can't find it. So we're thinking that through with regards to the archive. How can we make it even more accessible when it comes to the very rare titles? But we do have all formats still.
So. It's one of the great things about being a museum is you get to have
We're also converting anything that is accessible on DVD now. So we're continually feeding the archive with whatever's coming coming out with the Criterion collections and really, you know, the great filmmakers. We have a great director section that, you know, is amazing. Every film from every director that you could think of that had real impact in cinema, from Satyajit Ray all the way through, you know, Martin Scorsese, or somebody who's very, you know, sort of more front of everybody's mind for having impact in American cinema.
Describe a little bit what the experience is at the Broadway, and maybe we can talk. You guys are in the middle of an amazing renovation, restoration. I don't know what you'd call
We're
it.
We're in the middle of what will be in about 8 weeks.
It's amazing.
An amazing renovation.
It's amazing now, but it will be even more so.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's no carpet and sheetrock and mudded walls right now, but it's going to be phenomenal, the transition for our facility. So the experience of the Broadway is much more about that large curatorial thing that might happen more in a museum environment where you can see sort of the dinosaurs and then the science part. And in our case, we can have six exhibits going on at one given time so that, you know, while every film is not made for everybody, you can find something that is for you. It's also more of that town hall environment. So we would like the facility, and we have wanted this for some time, to really match our mission.
Yeah.
You know, used to walk in and it was funky. It's pink and blue. I don't know what to say. It was very 80s. It was built in 1989, and Lowe's had pink and blue corporate colors.
Right. so you got to
so
own
I got
those.
I got pink neon and pink bathrooms and pink tile, and I want pretty close to wanted to cry when they were tearing up the tile.
Kind of grew attached to that tile.
No, I actually was celebrating
so happy.
Leaving.
If you ever had a John Hughes like marathon, though, it would be perfect because it would fit right in with Pretty in Pink and 16 Candles. Yeah,
I can't get anybody to turn out to those films anymore. But yeah, I think it had its purpose for a very long time, which was we were defining ourselves as something different in the community, that we're not a movie theater and you need to think of us in a different way and support us in a different way. And now the facility is going to take that to the next level, which is really matching the maturity of our content, the maturity of our curation, the level of the events that we want to have. So it's very exciting, be very classy. You know, it'll just match our mission.
Yeah. Well, we're really excited about it.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the impact of independent movies on the larger society, the impact on downtown Salt Lake City, and the specific neighborhoods where these theaters are located. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW, and we will be back after these messages. We are back. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, with the Downtown Alliance. Joining me today is my friend, Tori Baker. Tori is the executive director of the Salt Lake Film Society. We were talking about sort of the experience that people have at the Broadway. How many patrons do you guys see in a year? How much foot traffic do you generate for downtown?
Well, we see nearly a quarter of a million annually. So we're one of the largest audience producers in the city right now in terms of the art. The lovely thing about the business model at heart that we do, which is exhibiting cinema, is that it has high foot traffic and it also has high ancillary spending for the community. So that dinner and a movie thing culturally really exists and people do that. And they also shop and know that time commitment is not the same as some other art forms that they might buy their ticket, you know, months out in advance for Mary Poppins or something.
Right.
For a movie, you'll probably call your wife at noon and say you want to go to a film tonight. So it's a very different demographic in terms of how we capture audience, but it's a high yield. There's a lot of people coming through our doors every year.
So you've got this great little ecosystem, I think, going on with Copper Onion and Copper Common, what's happening right behind you on Edison Street.
Right.
And you guys really seem to me to be kind of an anchor for that Broadway Edison quarter.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of dynamics to the success of, you know, a restaurant, say, you know, and Copper Onion's been fabulous, but certainly one of them is that people are coming by at some point. And the amazing thing about as much foot traffic as we create for the art form of cinema is that they're going to spend time in that neighborhood and they're going to yield, you know, the benefits of that in terms of what they want in that area and more art. I recently placed a sculpture in the courtyard to, you know, so these kind of things, we're kind of listening to the community to say, what do you want? Because we're defining seeing right now in these next few years what the bricks and mortar institution for cinema means to a community. It's very analogous to what happened with public radio. Mm-hmm. Many, many years ago, people might not quite, if you walk down the street and you said, what does my public radio station do for me? They might not define that well or know that. But since public radio has got a real sort of cultural mindset now in people's, you know, in terms of impact, cinema in the form that we do it doesn't have that yet. And so we're shaping it. Mm-hmm. And we're shaping it with collaborations and with partnerships. We've got a new partnership with the Central Utah Arts Center that we're hoping that they will help us program our lobby with visual art.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so we're reaching out to different collaborators to say, you know, what is our placemaking like and what does it feel like when you enter this space? And that includes everything from your parking all the way through to your exhibits.
You guys do a lot of festivals as well. You'll do something that's thematic and focused for a specific period of time on a certain genre or a certain...
Yeah, usually culturally specific. We have a culture and education initiative, and so we do a Mexican film tour and bring out some very famous people from Mexico who are working in cinema. We do a Czech film tour that actually they do in 6 cities around the nation, including New York, Denver, San Francisco, L.A., and we have the highest attendance.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
and we don't have a huge Czech population
exactly,
here, right?
Exactly, but they need to see their cultures represented,
yeah.
Right? They're hungry for that to be seen, and they don't have that outlet otherwise.
Yeah.
In September, actually next week on the 10th or 11th, we're starting the Global Film Initiative, mm-hmm. which is 10 films from 10 nations from directors who live in those nations in their third world countries. So those kind of programs really help us enhance and also identify, is there a need that we're reaching or that we're not in our community? Is there a demographic that we haven't touched or that we didn't know about, like the Czech community, you know, my history and my culture through this art form, because I don't have access to that.
Yeah. Well, people have asked me before about Sundance, and I usually see a few movies during Sundance, but I kind of feel like we have this benefit with what you do at the Broadway, where you're providing a Sundance-like experience 365 days a year.
Yes.
That you can go to the Broadway any day and find something interesting and know that you'll have a really different experience and an unusual experience. And sometimes it's something that is very popular, a Wes Anderson movie or something like that. And sometimes it's something that isn't well known. The other thing that I will say that I really appreciate about what you do is you curate movies and you're very thoughtful in the programming. It's thoughtful and appropriate and something that has helped to enhance my life. So I think you're doing a really good job with that.
Oh, well, thank you. That's amazing. We took a national survey, actually, that then targeted the Salt Lake City market through our National Art House Group. And something like 78% of people said that they had such an amazing experience at our local art house in this case, mm-hmm. that it changed their lives. Mm-hmm. And that content comes from the artists making films. And we don't have control over that. We're just curating from that and from historical archives. But to be able to present it and make it accessible to the community is really important to the experience of... When you decide to leave your home or you decide to do something with your family or your loved ones for the evening and you have a lot of things to choose from, you need to have an element of trust when you come to the Broadway or you don't need to have it, but you can have it. You can say, I've never heard of that film, but I think I'm going to try it. Or you can talk to the staff about it and say, what is it about and does it fit who I am?
Right.
So we try to make that a very personal experience.
It's you really do draw, I think, too, a very diverse crowd. And that, I remember I was having dinner with some friends at Copper Onion one time, just watching people go in and out of the movie theater. And I saw some people I know who are very left of the political spectrum. I saw Greg Bell, the former lieutenant governor, who was the lieutenant governor at the time, coming in with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
I saw my friend Bill Evans, who was a lobbyist for the LDS Church, going in for a movie. I mean, it was it's really a melting pot.
Yeah. Yeah, and even when it's not, straight entertainment or they had a good time, and it's about the coming together and the communal experience, which is what cinema has always been about, which mm-hmm. is why Nace naysayers who are cinema is going to die someday because of technology or TV or VCRs or whatever it is. Cinema always survives those things because it's ultimately about people coming together and experiencing something anonymously in a weird way, but together in a dark auditorium. It's a very strange and surreal thing if you really get into the mindset.
It's communal and very individual.
And that's special. And I think people appreciate it. And while in this digital age, they may want to watch something on their iPhone and have access to that, you know, watching it in our environment is going to give them a completely different experience.
Well, that's a good segue to the last thing I really wanted to talk about today, which is what do you see as the future for art houses, for independent film? You've just gone through a major overhaul of making all of your equipment digital, which was something that you needed to do to plan for the future. Where do you think Salt Lake City's art house will be in 5 years, 10 years? And what do you think is going to happen nationally with independent movie?
Well, on a nationwide scale, Salt Lake Film Society is really the trailblazer. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are a few of us in the nation. There's the Michigan Theater and San Rafael and a few really core art houses amongst the group of nationwide art houses that are shaping this. And I believe that what it's going to be is it's going to be a respected institution with a knowledge when you go to it of understanding that the programming is different than a movie theater in the sense, not in the sense that it's not a movie, but in the sense that it's carefully planned and that it's exhibiting the best of independent film. It's exhibiting things that are historic and from archive collections, and it's exhibiting things that are in the zeitgeist of my own community. Mm-hmm. You know, my response to programming is very different than my peers' response in Michigan, you know, when they program their theater, because their community has different needs and different ideas, and in that environment, they might be thinking of the economy more than a place like Salt Lake. And so they might be curating in a different way. It, you know, a large movie theater will never be that responsive to programming or the artists that are really making films that have social impact, have artistic impact, and have impact on us emotionally and change our lives.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you just give a brief description of your Cuba trip that's coming up?
Yes. So Cuba is amazing. We've been twice, and we will be going in December this year again. We go with a nonprofit called the Copper Bridge Foundation, and their mission is to bridge Cuba and the United States through the arts. Mm-hmm. So we immerse ourselves in painting and drawing and dancing and cinema while we're in Cuba, and because the planner is also Cuban-American and lives there. We also are just literally having lunch at artist tables, and it's a very intimate and lovely experience to get to know the culture of Cuba.
So if people would like more information about Cuba or to know more about what's going on at the Broadway or the Tower, where should they go?
They should go to SLFS, saltlakefilmsociety.org, and that will be where you'll find information about our opening films and our special programs. There's about 222 of those every year, so about two or three times a week. There's something that's a one-shot film. So stay tuned and you'll be able to see that, visit that often.
All right. Thanks, Tori, so much for coming in today. We really appreciate it. You've been listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. You can join us every Thursday at 10 a.m. where we'll talk about the people, places, and events helping to shape Utah's urban center.